We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne the God.
I want to congratulate you, Hall of Famers. So honored to be in the presence of radio royalty.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
This is a big deal.
I think that y'all have a certain amount of respect for, you know, what everybody else does. And y'all are just the best at what y'all do.
We love y'all, man. Thank you for being the people's champs.
Probably the greatest.
I'll drill y'all.
It's your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is King Gemini, man. How y'all doing?
What's up, brother? Get it off your chest.
All right, so last night, right?
Uh-huh.
I was performing oral sex with my girl and all that, right? And she's about to climax. And she farts in my face, man.
Oh, you got pink eye.
That means you was doing it. That means she was doing it real good.
Means you got pink eye.
Shout out to you.
You know what? I ain't got pink eye, but real quick. Hey, Charlamagne, can you do me a huge favor, man?
I will not fart on you. Don't you dare ask me to.
No, I was wondering if you could send me a book or something, man, and have Barack Obama sign it for me. That would be great.
What?
I don't have it. I only have one copy of A Promised Land.
Man.
I only had one. He only sent us 3 copies. He sent one for each of us. And I'm actually sending mine to my mom, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm sending.
And somebody stole mine in the mail, so I had to go buy another one.
Man, I was really hoping on that one though.
If I had it was yours.
I got
a copy of Dr. Rita Walker's book up here.
Oh yeah, hey, I'll take that. You got it for me, man.
And I'll send you a copy of mine. It's not like I sold 1.7 in the first week like Barack did.
I do well
in the book world though.
Yeah, I know. I actually listen to your books. I ain't read them yet though, but you know, I listen to
same.
Him.
That's the same.
I'm gonna get you, put you on hold, and they're gonna get your address. We're gonna mail it out to you, brother.
Hold on, Stinky Eye. Hello, who's this?
Hey, yo, it's all about you, DJ Envy. How old are you?
Good morning. How may I help you
what's
this morning?
What's going on here?
Yeah. I'm gonna get it off my chest. I've been wanting to get this off my chest since I was at your car show in Jersey. That's how long I've been wanting to get this off my chest. Uh-oh. I've been calling for this. This is my moment right here. I'm gonna say, first of all,
Hold on, please. Hold on, man.
What is going on?
All right, continue.
All right, I'm gonna send happy vibes out to the Breakfast Club as a whole. But DJ Envy, I gotta say.
Hold on, ma'am. Hold on. One second, ma'am. Hold on. Okay, continue.
I'm gonna send love vibes out to you for real. I watched you at your car show in Jersey. I was a vendor with my Twitter Light Papers business, and I gotta say, you was out there with us early in the morning. You took great care of people's property. I watched you just take and nurture them cars like they was your own. I got much respect for you, what you do for your car show. I watched you all day long. You was engaged with us. You didn't separate yourself. So I'm just sending you salute and happy vibes out to all your car shows. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming and visiting our booth and giving us love and taking pictures and everything. Salute to you, brother. If I had a fancy car, I would definitely send it to you. I wouldn't even worry after watching you, because I watch people, how they deal with stuff. And I got to say, I got much respect for you and the love that you share for people properly when they send it to your car show. So peace out, and I hope all your car shows be full to capacity. Aww.
Thank you so much, and thank you for coming, man. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you for being a vendor. Hello, who's this?
This is Gerv Pond from Seattle.
Hey, Gerv, what's up? Get it off your chest.
Hey, I just want to get off my chest, man. You know, like, you know, sometimes, you know, this is for, you know, for whoever needs to hear this, but, you know, sometimes life can get tough, you know. We've got to continue to keep getting up and keep pushing and all that stuff, you know. And honestly, you know, just be blessed that God blessed us with the day.
That's
you know,
it.
To live every day.
That's it, brother.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
This is D from the Chuck.
D from the Chuck.
What's going on? What's going on?
Get it off your chest, bro.
Well, I just need some advice, fellas. I'm a married man, newly married. I just wanted to know what can I do to spice up my relationship with my wife. Like, give me some.
You mean spice up how?
Like,
in what department?
You know, we've been dating for a while. We've been dating for years, but we're newly married, and I feel like we're kind of getting into the normal relationship groove. We're just going to bed at night, and you know, we used to go out and party and do all kind of stuff. Like, how can we get back into it? What can I do?
I mean, you never should stop dating your wife. I think that's the biggest thing. You know what I mean? I think sometimes we as men get complacent, but you can never stop dating her.
Right.
Keep dating her. Keep courting her constantly.
Right. And
constantly.
And then there's also, if you don't want to go out at night, because I know sometimes it's difficult to go out at night, there's always brunches and day parties. You can go to restaurants during the day that play music so you can get back home when you need to get back home. And you can do things like, what is she into? Is she into hair? Is it what TV shows?
Yeah, she's into hair and like makeup and, you know, and our kids and stuff like that. I just feel like we're just getting into like this groove where we're just like being normal people, and we wasn't like that before. So
yeah, it's difficult. I mean, life happens, but you got to take the necessary steps to make sure that, like Charlamagne said, you always continue to date. That might mean, you know, go out Friday night. It doesn't have to be an expensive restaurant, depending on how much you make or what you can afford. It could be just a date night at the movies. It could be take her to a play. It could be something as small as she like hair and makeup. There's so many hair and makeup shows all over the country. You know what I mean? That's in the local area, depending on where you at. Take her to a hair and makeup show. Just do things that just to show that you care. You know, the typical flowers, the typical, if she likes Caribbean food, bring a Caribbean food. If she likes cheesecake, bring a cheesecake from her favorite spot. You know, little things like that. It doesn't have to be her birthday or anniversary to do those type of things, but it just shows her you care.
Okay, thank
Never
you.
Never stop dating
right
bro.
Quick. Let me shout her out right quick.
Go ahead, bro.
I want to shout out my wife, Shaniqua. I love you very much, baby. Can't wait to see you, babe.
There you go.
Thanks, fellas.
And don't forget the edibles.
Oh,
edibles always work, too.
Underwear? Yes. Underwear?
He said underwear.
Oh, no, man. Talk about THC.
Underwear?
I like how you think so, man.
You can start that, too. You can do that, too.
Oh, okay. I like it. Thanks, fellas.
All right, brother. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up.
Wake your ass up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Blake from Georgia.
What up, brother? Get it off your chest.
Yeah, I just want to put it out there, let everybody know. If you have a business idea or a thing you're trying to put on, don't assume it's going to be successful because you have family and friends that are going to support you.
Wow.
Sometimes that's not how it works.
Yeah.
What happened, man?
So I have a fitness event called Nightingale Games. I threw it for the first 2 years in my hometown, Indiana, thinking it's going to be successful. Didn't get the turnout I wanted. Depending on family and friends helping put it together, it was a dud. I moved down to Georgia, and it's going to be one of the biggest fitness games down here in the state. And I'm bootstrapping it all myself. No team or nothing. I have to take the handicaps off, train the wheels off, and get it all done myself.
That's how it always is, man. You know that. You know 9 times out of 10, you're going to get more support somewhere else than in your hometown. You know that.
Shouldn't be like that, though.
It shouldn't be. But.
Yeah, and you know, you can't ever expect, and I've learned this from, you know, starting businesses, you can't ever expect the people around you that they have to do support. Things to support you.
Correct.
You still got to act like you out there doing it on your own and put forth all the effort like you're not going to have that. And if they do support you, that's a great and amazing surprise.
That's just the way people are sometimes. Hello, who's this?
What's the deal, baby? This is Ahmad Bacardi.
Ahmad, what's up? Get it off your
chest.
That
ain't
bro.
Your real name. Your last name, Bacardi?
Yes, sir.
You're a liar.
Why is that?
Your last name is actually Bacardi, like the drink?
Yes. No. Not McCarty.
Oh, McCarty. Okay, got you. All right, McCarty. Okay, that makes more sense.
Get it off your chest, man.
All right, what's the deal, man? I wanted to just give a shout out, man. I married the love of my life this weekend.
Congratulations, King.
Thank you, sir.
That's what I like to hear.
Want to shout out Keola McCarty, the new Miss McCarty.
Yay.
And I want to say I love her.
Okay.
And right. Shout out to the Breakfast Club, Angela Yee, DJ Envy. Charlamagne
the God. Congratulations, brother, and have a good one. Hello, who's this?
This is Romero.
Romero, what up? Get it off your chest.
Man, I'm a little hot, man. I've been trying to get into this real estate game, and they not making it easy for a brother at all. Man, I bought my first property, renovated it, got it off the ground, man, and now I'm trying to buy another one, and these prices is crazy right now. Same property that was $90,000 is going for like $180,000, man, for 600 square feet. It's retarded.
I mean, that's what this whole pandemic did. I mean, a lot of people with the interest rates so low, a lot of people are buying houses and inventories down, so people are raising the prices like crazy.
Man, I don't know how they expect somebody to get in the game with these kind of prices, man. It's stupid, man.
It's very difficult.
Well,
I don't know, man. I appreciate y'all, though, man. Thanks for taking my call. I'm glad to get it off my chest.
Yeah, there wasn't going to be no positive advice for that one. It is what it is. When them prices is what they are what they are.
Hello, who's this?
Oh, this is Marion Johnson.
What's up, brother?
What's up, Marion Johnson?
So you remember me, man. Cocktail party, man.
Whoa. Ooh, okay. Whoa. Tell him one.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I was just.
He just said his name.
My link out here. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember the male dancer?
No. The male dancer?
Yeah, remember I was talking about the book about the male dancer, the cocktail party?
No, I don't quite remember.
Mm-hmm. Y'all was talking about a male dancer, a guy if his girl went to the strip joint, and I mean, I had a house party, and what would you think about that?
Oh, got you. Yeah, okay. It's starting to come back to me now.
Yeah. I was just trying to throw the link out there. It's on ASApublishingCorporation.com/Marin Johnson. It's Merin Johnson, or you go to Amazon and buy Marin Johnson.
Okay.
Thank you, Marin Johnson. That's a good last name you got for a male stripper. Johnson,
yeah. But my stripper name was Black Cat.
Okay, should have been Black Johnson.
Black Cat. Why was it Black Cat? Were you, like, walking across the stage like a black cat?
That's right. That's right, shaking everything.
Okay.
Shaking everything.
There you go.
Okay, Black Cat.
You have a good one.
Yeah.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Power 105.1.
everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest, some special guests in the building this morning.
Yes, sir.
We got a brother G Herbo here.
What's up, brother?
And who you got with you, G Herbo?
I got Drench, man.
Drench.
My little Drench. My blood cousin, man.
What's going on?
I'm feeling good. I'm good, bro.
Well, first of all, happy birthday. You just celebrated.
Happy belated.
Thank you. Appreciate it, bro.
And it's crazy because I thought I listened to Survivor's Remorse.
Yeah.
Then a whole other goddamn album dropped. How this thing got through an hour and some change that fast?
Oh, man. I'm excited, man. I'm just happy to be here, bro. I'm blessed, you know, to be able to put this project out. But it's more than just an album. I feel the universe and the energy, like, around it. Like, I really feel like it's a moment of triumph for me when I wasn't even trying to celebrate it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went through so much recording this project and just so much in life growing as a man. And this album is a complete reflection, a complete testament of who I am and how I've grown as a man. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Now, I was going to ask you, you know, you had two kids, and I've been seeing your video of your kids beating you up.
Three, punching you in the face, all together.
That's right. I was going to ask, you know, how has that changed you?
I always say, like, the happiest I'm going to ever be is just hanging with my kids, you know what I'm saying? Especially when I got all three of them in the house together, man. It's perfect, you feel what I'm saying? And your son, the only thing, you know, I'm thinking as I'm walking here, for real, like, and I knew y'all was going to ask me something about my kids. And the reason why I go so hard and why it's so important, because the time that I spend away from my kids got to mean something, man. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm really sacrificing time away from my kids, not seeing them. For this, you feel me? So it gotta mean something. It gotta work. You know, it gotta work for me. It gotta work for them, because that's the foundation that I'm laying. You feel what I'm saying? And my kids don't know they daddy G Herbo for real. Like, he'll sign though, because everybody, you know, we'll be walking or in the airport or something, and people be like, "Hey, yo, son, hey," you like,
"He's a celebrity.
How do you know my name?" You know what I'm saying? Right. He five. He don't really understand. He asks me now, like, "Daddy, am I famous?" I be wanting to tell him no, but then I'll be like, you feel me?
But then I'll be like, yeah. You told him, put some more, I'm gonna buy you some more
jewelry. It's different, man. Like, just having them around other kids and stuff, you know, they treat them like a celebrity. But it's like, I'm saying that to say, like, I want all my kids to have foundation, balance, you feel me? So it gotta mean something. Me moving fast, I'll be on the road so much and worry about money. And you don't even realize you really raising your kids a certain way. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I don't want my kids to grow up how I grew up, for one, but I don't want them to grow up just like an industry kid or, like, you know what I'm saying? I want my kid to grow up regular, man. I want him to just have his innocence. You feel me? That charismatic and freedom to just be them, all my kids. You feel what I'm saying? And that's important. So, and I always used to say that I got to go hard where I could have the freedom to take a year off for real, like a real year to just travel and be with my family. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always wanted to be that type of artist, to have that, because I feel like I ain't gonna be able to raise my kids right if I'm just focused on.
Your son's on the album too. Does he understand that? How did he react when he heard it?
He called me on FaceTime. Like, he called me first. He like, "Daddy, it's your birthday?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's my birthday." He said, I didn't miss it. I said, "No." He said, "I was so scared I was gonna miss your birthday. It just dropped. Your birthday just dropped." But he talking about the album. Your birthday just came out. And he was listening to the song. He was listening to me on the TV, and he turned around. Like, it's just crazy that he really understand it. You feel what I'm saying? Like, he's seeing it now. He a fan of the music. You feel? He don't just listen to my music. You feel? He just a fan of music and the culture. You know what I'm saying? But that's like, I noticed that, and that's why I just let him out how I grew up. That's why I'm so smart in that. I was exposed to so much. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you gotta still expose your kids to things so we could learn. Like, I feel like that's knowledge that my son growing, and I'm just be able to, like, polish it all up just by talking to them. You know, I'm gonna be honest with all my kids. You feel what I'm saying? And that's how they gonna have that structure, that foundation, because that's how I got it. My parents was just honest with me, brutally honest.
We saw you in a protective father mode. When was that? When you was out with your child and somebody was being a little too pushy?
The crew league joint. I just be trying to, like, you know, I'm cool, I'm friendly, you feel what I'm saying? But I would just be trying to, like, it ain't really that, you know, because a lot of times people be trying to go viral. And I was stopping it right then, because had it been something that would have offended me, it would have went all the way to a whole nother level. So people thought I was joking, but I wasn't mad, and then I was just showing them, like, don't play.
Especially when you're with your kids.
Absolutely. You can't even play while I'm with nobody that I care about, you feel, especially my kids. So I just wanted to just draw that line right there.
All right, we got more with G Herbo when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with G Herbo. Yee.
You think that people don't respect the Chicago music scene the way that they should? I was just at that Chella's birthday party, my girl Chella, yeah. And I seen Sasha Gohar was there. Katie got bands.
Yeah,
you know, you was there. Yeah. But you guys have a lot of great artists. But Charlamagne, you guys gonna have this discussion about the whole Chief Keef thing that went viral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what are your thoughts on that? You think people aren't giving you guys the credit?
It's about accountability too. I'm not even gonna say people not giving us the credit. We're not really like laying our mark the way we're supposed to, you feel what I'm saying? I'm just saying that because I feel like we just need to unify more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what make other cities stick out. And I ain't even gonna say that we don't get the respect because people see it. They just waiting on us to go crazy. Like mm-hmm. Katie got a song with Nicki Minaj right now, you feel? We always hear the respect that we deserve. But we just gotta like own it.
I feel like Chicago's always gotten their credit music wise.
Yeah.
Though. I've never
music
looked at Chicago.
Wise, we always got our credit. Yeah. Like everybody from our generation to the generation before, we always got our flowers in Chicago. You know, I just feel like we never really capitalized off of it because we not together.
How did something like that happen?
I don't know. I really don't know, man. What you think, JB? You got to tell me, man. You be spitting that knowledge when you say stuff like that.
Come on, JB.
I think what we really need to unify is.
I think
OGs, we need OGs.
I think we need
to speak.
Better execs. You know, I think
yeah, exactly.
A lot of times these kids go on their own and they hard because of the trauma. It's hard for them to trust. The difference in what Herb has is that he has execs that have been around the business that can help him and let him see what he needs to actually see in order for him to grow. And I think that as we continue to do that with all these kids and more execs come along, I think that you'll begin to see how we can grow as a community in the business.
Now let's have the Chief Keef combo because I think what people got misconstrued. I never said Chief Keef wasn't influential.
Yeah.
I said that the foremost.
I know exactly what you said.
Yeah, I said the foremost influential rappers of all time is Pac, Jay, Wayne, and Kanye.
Yeah.
And then Nyla was like, well, you got to put Chief Keef in there. And I was like, well, I wouldn't put Chief Keef in that fall because Chief Keef influenced the sound in a region.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying he's not influential. I just don't think he's one of the foremost influential rappers of all time.
Yeah. No, see, look, and we both got confused with that. That's what I meant when I was saying it. It's a sound. He influenced a sound and a generation of kids that, and even though Sosa is a global superstar, but even if he wasn't, just what he did and how he touched so many people and turned them into global superstars, that's what I meant. Like, his influence is crazy.
You know,
like,
he's never done an overseas show?
Never.
That's because crazy. I don't think he can leave or something. Yeah.
I don't. Sosa ain't performed in Chicago in like 8 years. He could sell out 2 United Centers right now. I know he will. Like, people got to understand he that big with still, like, everything. Like, I'm saying, hiccups, the stuff that you go through behind the scenes, and you just make it look good. You feel what I'm saying? Like, a lot of us not really able to reach our full potential because we go through so much. You know what I'm saying? And I can't tell you personally what he going through or what he may went through, why he not able to go tour out the country, you know what I'm saying? I can't go tour out the country right now, you feel what I'm saying? But I'm just saying that to say, you don't know what nobody going through behind the scenes, and you just trying to, like, be the best version of yourself. But I ain't gonna lie, I respect you, bro. You always been just solid, you know what I'm saying? And it's hard to recognize solid people that just, like, gonna speak their mind, you know? And it start a conversation, it start controversy because it make you think. Solid people gonna say stuff that make other people think, you feel what I'm saying? And, like, we need it.
But you see it generationally, though. You see how clearly he influenced the whole generation. Because you had a whole generation being like, no, that's our guy.
What?
You know
everybody.
It was trending for 3 days.
It broke the internet, bro. Sosa made everybody get dreads. He made everybody rock True Religion. Like, he had that Kanye effect on our generation, for real.
But Wayne will say he caused the whole generation to get dressed.
And he will.
And 2 Chainz will say, I caused the whole generation to start wearing True Religion. Yeah. Or Jim Jones, you know what I mean?
But I seen it, though. I ain't gonna lie, Wayne did do that. Like, he started making street dudes. I seen, like, real street dudes start getting, like, lip pierces when Wayne did that in Chicago. I know that was unheard of. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Do you have a relationship with Wayne? I know he's your favorite.
Yeah, he my favorite, like, all the time, for real. But
that's why I say he's one of the foremost influential.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I hollered at him a few times. I be hollering at him, like, you know what I'm saying, yeah, now and then. But I really just, I got to connect for real with him.
Yeah, are we close to getting something?
Man, I really got to get with him for real. Like, that's when I'm going to feel like I made it, when I get that. No lie, I ain't going to lie. When I get a song with Wayne, just me and Wayne in the studio working, I'm going to really feel like it's that.
It's G Herbo.
Let's get it.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
This fall, a great night's sleep starts at Mattress Firm. Right now, get king beds for queen prices, queen beds for twin prices, and save up to $700 on select mattresses from top brands. Visit a store near you or mattressfirm.com today.
WWPR FMHD1 New York.
An iHeart Radio station.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, we're asking, what is one of the fattest things you've done? All right? 800-585-1051. Now, this comes from TikTok. On TikTok, people have been sharing their fat stories, something fat that they've done. It always involves some Krispy Kreme donuts, always Chick-fil-A, fried lobster, always. It's always one of those, or maybe all of them together. It's just one of those things. And if edibles involved, it's just all bad. It's all bad.
That's funny. I was going to say, whenever I have edibles, that's when I do the most. And it usually involves any type of dessert, because I love dessert. And Philip Ashley, he makes these chocolate-covered cherries. And so I had a whole huge box of them that I ordered, and I think I ate like 8 of them in a row, and I had dessert.
Yeah, I love fat things. Okay, back in the day, you get high, you get the Sunbeam honey bun, you know, put a Snickers on top of it, microwave it for 40 seconds, and then eat it with a spoon. Lord have mercy. And even though I've always been lactose intolerant, sometimes you risk it all and put some ice cream on top of that thing. Man, listen, that's good eating.
You know, I remember I told you about this one time. I was in South Carolina. I think it was called the Thunder something.
Thunderbird, Florence, South Carolina.
Now, it looked like a cafeteria, but the food in there was amazing.
Yes.
And I must have went back to that line about 5 times.
It's a buffet.
The buffet, yes.
Yeah. Listen, all my fat stuff involves being high. You know what I'm saying? You get on them edibles, and I love to eat. So, you know, if I know I'm going to do an edible, wherever we order food, I'm going to order what I'm going to eat, and then I order something later that I know I'm going to eat when I get the munchies later. The problem with that is it's usually a whole other meal.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not a snack.
And you know what's really fat? When you eating, and while you eating, you like, God damn, this going to taste good later when I'm high. And I'm going to tell you what else makes you feel fat. When you done passed out from being high and drunk, and it's 12:30, 1 o'clock, and you wake up and you think about them leftovers, and you're like, I got to eat them now while I'm high, because they ain't going to hit the same tomorrow when I'm not.
Hello, who's this?
This is Dre from Hampton.
Talk to us, Dre.
So, Jack, you know on the cruise, right, they always got food 24 hours, right?
Right.
And then they got a set dinner time.
Correct.
Well, I was on this cruise one time, and I got a slice of pizza from the pizzeria, and I'm heading back to my room. As I'm heading back to my room, I'm ordering room service. But I'm about to go to dinner in 5 minutes.
I see the cruises do it dirty too, because it's free room service, it's free food. So I do that too. I order some full room service just in case you don't like the dinner, right? So you still good, and then you eat the dinner.
I've never been on a cruise.
Me neither.
I don't like cruises. I don't want to be in the middle of the ocean in a boat for all them days.
Hello, who's this?
It's Brandon.
Brandon, what's up, brother? What's the fattest thing you've done?
All right, check it out. In the hood, you only got like a few choices of food. So if pizza is Chinese, I figured I mix them together. So I bought me a slice, then walked to the Chinese store, got me some fried rice with some beef and broccoli.
Mm.
And I took the slice out, put the beef and broccoli with the fried rice on top of the slice.
Mm.
Oh
man, that's some good eating, King. That's some good eating, King. With a shrimp fried rice?
Nah, it was regular fried rice with some onions.
Can you imagine the shrimp fried rice on top of a slice of pizza? Lord have mercy.
The mixture of the sauces and the taste.
You eating, King?
How much you weigh, bro?
Thank you. How much I weigh?
Yeah.
I currently weigh 200.
Man, hey, I did that over the holidays. I hadn't had Chinese food in a long time. I went to Chopsticks in Teaneck, New Jersey. They're like a kosher Chinese restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they got them chicken egg rolls. I ordered 4 of them things. And I came home, my daughter asked for one, act like I ain't here. Because I knew what I wanted to do later with that egg roll.
Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Keita. How are you? Good morning.
Hey, Keita, we're talking about doing some fat things. Talk to us.
Yes, so the fattest thing I did was made a donut burger. So it had...
Oh, the Luther?
Say it again.
The Luther.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is the Luther?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's a hamburger patty with bacon on it, and I had like some extra bacon with a fried hard egg and a hash brown, and then you top it with
the donut.
The donut.
Yep.
Yep.
That's some real fat-ish right there. That's some real fat-ish.
Yep.
Y'all ain't never watched The Boondocks? That was an episode of The Boondocks, the Luther Burger.
Thank you, Mama.
I never tried it, though. Every time I see it, I'm too scared of that. I ain't never got that high.
All right.
I'm scared of that Luther Burger, bro.
Hello, who's this?
It's Fresh.
Fresh, what up, man? We're talking about some real fat boy ish this morning, man. What's the fattest thing you've done?
I ain't gonna lie, bro. I'm only like 160, but everybody who know me call me fat. They say I'm fat in spirit.
I'm fat in spirit.
I ain't gonna lie, like the fattest thing, for real, bro. Everybody say I'm really like probably 6'8", 250, because I do everything fat, bro. Last week I ate some oatmeal because I didn't want to wait on it to cool off. I put it in the freezer for about 5 minutes.
I don't see nothing wrong with that.
I do that with pizza, though.
Yeah.
You do that with pizza?
Yeah, pizza be too hot. I put it in a little fridge for about maybe
20 seconds, 30 seconds. I love pizza hot. I needed to burn my mouth.
All right, so what about this? I microwave my ice cream.
Now, that's just ridiculous.
Now, that's just stupid.
Yeah, now, I do microwave it a little bit if it's too hard now. When you put that spoon in there.
Yeah, you feel me?
Yeah. I do that now.
You microwave it. I do that.
I do that. Because you want your ice cream. I like, you got to want it to be soft. You want that spoon to just go right through it.
Yeah, you don't want it to be rock hard.
I don't microwave it, though. I just put it on the counter for a little while.
That's what you have to put on the counter.
Yeah, I don't microwave it.
Nah, man. I give it about 15 seconds in the microwave, bro, to get there.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right,
man. So now y'all feel fat. Y'all hungry like I am. What's the moral of the story?
Man, food is amazing, bro. The moral of the story is that, you know, I think your diet is a bank account. And good food choices are good investments. And it doesn't sound like y'all making good investments. Like, I was talking about just random things. This sounds like this some of y'all regular everyday diet, all right? So just make sure you're making, you know, good food choices to make good investments. That's all. But, man, food is life. Well, I love food so much.
Absolutely.
Lord have mercy. We all fat. We all trans fat, bro. And we just need to accept it. Don't nobody really like eating healthy?
No.
No.
Oh, healthy can be delicious. That's not true.
Sure.
It definitely
is. It don't taste like that.
Yeah, I don't, sure.
It don't taste like them
sure.
Them Krispy
Kreme
donuts.
Man, the juices at Juices for Life, those like are amazing. It's like dessert.
They're good.
Yeah.
But they taste delicious.
But nothing tastes good like the
mangoes. Oh, my God. I love a good juicy mango.
If all this stuff we really love to eat was healthy, like if there was, if Krispy Kreme donuts kept us alive, guess what we'd be eating this morning right now?
I tried that.
You know what I mean? If Chick-fil-A is what gave us muscles, guess what we'd be eating this morning?
Remember what I used to eat every morning up here?
And I love sauteed spinach with garlic. Yum.
All right. Well, Breakfast Club, good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yes, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. But we got the host of one of my favorite podcasts, man. Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, and Channing Crowder. The Pivot Podcast is here. What's happening?
Man, appreciate you having us, baby.
How y'all feeling this morning?
We end up using a lot of your clips on Rumor Report.
A lot.
I just want to say.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot lately. I really appreciate what y'all are doing, man, because I think it's dope when people who actually lived it control their own narratives. Mm-hmm. So what made y'all want to do this?
Go ahead, you know.
You started. You got.
We had to get away from the other situation.
I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? And we didn't know what we were going to do. We just weren't going to stay over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Channing and I, we talked. And then eventually we had a conversation with RC. And then, you know, we had to pivot from there. And we ended up with a pivot.
Because you already was doing one, right?
Yeah, I was doing something on my own already. Just because I was just trying to get the reps of interviewing, doing those things, telling certain stories. And I did the old show with them.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a guest host. Somebody was missing. So I did the old show. It went really well. And then Alicia Zubakowski, who's the producer, she just hit me up. Like, would you do the show? Would you talk to Channing? Me and Chan talked for about an hour and a half one night. You know, because my first question was, can y'all fix the old thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I think anytime, like in our culture, when something does become that big and mm-hmm. it does become something that the community grabs onto, like I didn't want that to just go away behind nonsense. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once they let me know what the deal was and how everything went down, I was like, cool, let's do it. But I can honestly say I didn't expect it to be what it is now, though, for sure.
Really?
It's so important to take care of the business, too, mm-hmm. aspect of it. So when you guys did the Pivot Podcast, what agreement did you come to with each other to make sure that it was fair for everybody?
Well, we learned from the other situation where you just jump out with your homeboys. Hey, we tight. We play together. We know each other. Man, let's do this. And then it blows up and then checks start coming. And now you panicking on the back end. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, what percentage is mine? What percentage is yours?
Mm-hmm.
So before we even shot an episode, we set up our business, set up our LLC, our big one. We connected all three of our businesses to it. We brought in our producer and our attorney. So everybody got their, you know, their, it's not equal percentage. We're the main three owners. We mm-hmm. own, what is 80% of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's already set up before a dime came in. So we were fronting money. All of us were paying for our own stuff to mm-hmm. start it, to get it going, to travel, the production, everything with our producer. And we were paying for it ourselves and said, okay, we're going to bet on ourselves to come in. But we didn't even, we left the other spot. Me and Freddie were like, we got to do a podcast. But then we just saw, man, it's the young kids that come up to you. From the 14-year-old that come and be like, hey, man, that Beasley stuff was crazy. to the 60-year-old that comes up to you. So mm-hmm. we're really affecting the culture. So that's what me and Freddie were like, but we got to keep this going somehow to really just speak to the people. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to bring in a third, and the list was short. It was Ryan Clark. We knew the dude. He's talented. He was that good guy. So that's what we brought in. But yeah, we didn't have to do it. We didn't want to do it, but we had to because we thought we were affecting so many people.
Well, you know, I'm glad you said that because coming from pro sports, y'all make multi-millions of dollars. Podcast money ain't like that initially.
Yeah, not at all.
And it might take a while to even get to that multi-millions of dollars. So did that impact anything?
No, not for me.
Okay.
Like I said, it's all about teaching, you know, being transparent and learning and just really opening up conversations. I think that's what we've been great at. And really just jumping in it, we started the other thing just during quarantine. Mm-hmm. Say we were bored in the house, just trying to get outside and, you know, do some stuff, talk. And then it just evolved into that. For me, I never thought I'd be in media, right? So just to really be here, it's still, I think my drive now is the fact that, like Channing just said, people run up on us, damn, mm-hmm. y'all changing my lives, the DMs. Man, that right there opened my eyes, man. I need this, you know, this medicine. So that keeps you driving. So, and it really, the money's going to come on the back end. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We can sustain this. So that's not the important thing right now. It's just the conversation.
If you chase the money, you'll never catch it.
That's right. What you said about athletes being in a box, do you think that's where the stereotype of the dumb jock comes from? Because they only want to talk to y'all about one thing?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily like that's where the dumb jock comes from, because I think some jocks are dumb. Just like,
just like anybody's dumb. Right.
Anybody dumb. You know what I'm saying? Like, people that play ball, that was really good at ball and also not very intelligent. Like, that's... And so I think people try to like stereotype everyone in that way, but I think it's much like anything else, is where people see you and box you in, or how they meet you, it's hard for them to get outside of that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, if you're not
like
having,
that's all you do.
Right? Like, if you're not having a conversation with us, like, if you never sit down and bring up another topic, then you don't know what the hell I know. Right. And, like, this show has let us do that.
I love so many of y'all episodes, man. You know, Channing, people got mad at you when you mm-hmm. called Russell Wilson a square. Do you take that back?
Not at all. Not one bit. I did creep in the G-Code locker room, bringing up Sierra and why they're together, you know what I'm saying? And Fred and RC afterwards, they got on me like, bro, you know what I'm saying? She wanted her piece. You know, you can transition, you know, go to different situations. Kim, from Kanye to David, what's his name?
Pete Davidson.
I don't follow that, man. But like, they're two different people, so I understand the change. So bringing up Sierra, bringing up a man's family, I'll take that back. Mm-hmm. But have y'all seen Russell's videos? You've seen Mr. Unlimited and this goofy shit. My bad.
Listen, but there's...
But there's
nothing wrong with being a square, though.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I didn't call him an alcoholic.
That's a positive thing to me, really.
But like, I think though...
You said you didn't call him an alcoholic.
I didn't call him an alcoholic. I didn't call him a deadbeat dad. I didn't call him a pedophile.
Some people felt like it was personal. Like, you have a personal issue with him.
No. There's lame people all around, I think. And I'll call him lame if you ask, throw a name out. I say lame or cool. It's an opinion, and it's what I thought. Like, it's folks out there think I'm lame. And I don't give a damn. Yeah. I don't know why so many people were mad that my opinion of Russell Wilson is a square in the lane.
But that's what happens when you have a successful podcast, but you say holds a lot more weight than just having a regular conversation.
But also, I guess, look, a person that people look at and they say, that's a good guy.
Right.
Why is a good guy considered lame?
There's good people that are cool.
Yeah.
Just the way Russ holds himself, his little videos, you saw him come up, you see how his... He done been in a locker room with people that know how to talk the talk. He learned how to talk the talk, but he's not built like that. I'm an Atlanta dude, and that's how I grew up.
He doesn't understand who in the black community is protected. Certain people you can't say certain things about, and that's beautiful black love. You can't violate that.
But
he spoke his opinion, so that's one thing Channing gonna do. Mm-hmm. You watch the episodes, Channing gonna be black and white. Ain't no gray about Channing. He's gonna always be transparent. You're gonna like it or you're not. You know what I'm saying? And that's it.
And it works.
Yeah. It wasn't though what people tried to make it though. And I think that was my larger issue. And you got it. You for sure know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like you say certain things and you may not expound and people bring it to something else, right? Because obviously if I'm connected to him and I'm laughing during the time, and even in the piece, I was like, bro, but when you've been in something that's toxic, you just want peace.
You want the opposite.
Yeah, even I said that. But I also agree that he's square. you know, the thing that frustrated me is not like now people are coming at us like you can't say anything about it because of the couple, right? It's because of the couple. And like I had the conversations with people, which I love being able to have those conversations. I was like, look, you know, in 2016, when Michael Bennett's walking off the stage in a Black Lives Matter shirt and they asked Russell Wilson, he says, police lives matter and everybody's lives matter. Of course, Black lives matter.
Lord,
you know what I'm saying? And so at that time, like I went on TV that day. I'm on First Take. I went on TV like, nah, like we needed somebody to be strong. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, okay. And then in 2020, and like things change and your minds change. And, you know, you're now married to a Black woman and you have Black kids. And so, you know, now those things are important. In 2020, he gives this impassioned speech on the ESPYs. And that's cool, right? But for me, somebody who was the same way in 16 and white people are cussing me, calling me racist. And then in 2020, I'm getting calls every time I get off of TV that my voice is needed. That is square to me. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say that and also say, you know what? My daughter, I want her to marry a man that loves her the way he seems to love Sierra and take care of his kids, not only his kids, her other kid. Like, all those things are beautiful.
And I wanted to be a Black man. That should be okay to say, too.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I just think that, you know, that thing was taken way out of, like, context. And I hated that he got killed for it and his wife was getting messages and different. My daughter's getting messages.
Really?
And so I thought that, you know, like, come on now. Like, know who you defended.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you.
But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee, DJ Envy, and right now we kicking it with the Pivot Podcast. And the Michael Beasley episode, man, that was so important. And I don't think he would have gotten that open anywhere else. For some reason, he felt very comfortable in that environment. Have y'all followed up with him since then?
I hit him constantly. I have a lot of blue texts, though, and he hasn't really returned anything, but like right. I repost his stuff. I text him all the time just to check on him. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, for us, it was one of those things, honestly, y'all, that like we weren't expecting. Like when he came on, like Chan and Fred had to go like talk to him to just get him to do the show. Kind of had like just, because when you get to our show, it's kind of like not just a regular podcast. There's cameras everywhere and people moving around. And so, you know, he didn't want to do it initially. Mm-hmm. And like through the first few minutes, we didn't know what it was going to be. And for him to open up in that way, like you almost felt ill-equipped for it. And I think that's why it ended up being so beautiful, was because we all had to like just strip down and just be there with it. Mm-hmm. And it's the interview that when people talk about where our show has come to this point, the interview everybody will point to, because I believe that's kind of what started the Pivot.
Mm-hmm. No, I done reached out to him 20 times and he didn't respond back. And just randomly, like, he just got on the team. He just signed a deal in, what, China, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
You know, same thing.
Yep. Yeah, let me know, just like on the show, when I told him, bro, I got kids. We get the bounce house in the backyard. Mm-hmm. Every time we had a party, I reach out to the man. Hey, bro, having something Saturday. A couple times I did it, no response. But when you want help, you reach out for it. Mm-hmm. And everybody hit us like, this man needs help. Psychiatrists were DMing me. Doctors I know DMing me. Hey, can you please get in touch with Michael Beasley? I'm like, listen, I'm not giving this man a number to you, but I keep reaching out to him. Mm-hmm. And at any moment he does respond,
you ready?
I'll holler at him and I'll have a team ready to do something for him. But just wishing the best. But I know we all reached out to him a number of times. Yeah.
So what was that conversation to even get him to do it initially?
A couple of people mm-hmm. I reached out to. Mm-hmm. We talked about doing it when we were on the other side, but that was shot down. So thank God it was. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beauty about what we do. Like, we just let people speak. Some mm-hmm. people come with agendas and they have things that they want to vent to and get off their chest. And then we're going to do enough research where we can expound and we can carry a conversation. So I think really that's what creates our dynamic. One, guests know we're going to do right by them. Mm-hmm. We ain't looking for no clickbaits. We just looking to let you talk. We'll let you see the cuts before we send them out, all the promos. You sign off on them, we good to go.
Has anyone ever said, can you take this out?
Yeah.
We have a show that we can't release because the guests come, right? Always, hey, can I ask this? Right? Because, you know, you study and you know what you want to get to. And if you get to it, you will. And so I'm like, can I ask this? They're like, oh, yeah, like we all good. So I was like, this is going to be an excellent show. Mm-hmm. We do the show. Show's phenomenal. I get a call from my agent, my TV agent, and he's like, look, their agent called me. They need to take some things out. And when people take things out, y'all know how it is. You take like a snippet out, mm-hmm. or you might take one answer out. They took out like 20 minutes of a 45-minute show.
Oh, he must have got loose. Oh, she must have got loose.
You know what I'm saying? And I was like, well, we can't show this.
That's my 12-minute episode. Yeah. That ain't gonna work.
And then, but it's also one of those things, though, like when I look back on it, I think it's even cool, though, that we could be in that, but we could be that way. Like, if you feel that, and they have a documentary coming out, so I guess they thought they shared too much. But if you feel like you did something on the show and you know, you got to take so much out. We're not going to put you out there bad. We're not right. going to be like, nah, you said it. We're going to do it. You signed a release. Nah, we're not going to do that because you don't want that to be attached to your name either.
And to be honest, they done told stuff I done on the show. We'll stop the show afterwards, and our producer and Freddie and RC be like, hey, that mid part with Chan, we don't even do that.
Wait, like what?
And just, you know, I get wild with sexual stuff, but just, you know, just start talking crazy, talking about, you know, back in the day when I used to run in them streets. And then after the show, as soon as it's over, Ray will be like, RC, we can't play this stuff about the club. And then the producer be like, okay, and she'll edit it up and be right. But yeah, from on all our standpoints, like, we're not there to get anybody.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's what people gather. A lot of people, one thing I was surprised by is that when people come on, they're always going to watch shows before. Mm-hmm. They always want to see what to expect mm-hmm. when they get there. So they already know his approach. They know mm-hmm. my approach. They know Freddie's approach. So they already are kind of prepared, but if they were to say something crazy, we'll even, in the middle of the show sometimes, we'll be like, they'll talk. It was a show recently, and dude said something, Fred was like, you don't
oh, I do that all the time, yeah. I tell the guests right now, I be like, oh, you know we editing that, right?
Yeah.
Because you already know they're going to, why give somebody unnecessary backlash yeah. with no reason?
Yeah.
You
know
what I mean? You had a nice moment with Shaq, too.
Yeah, yeah. See, the funny thing with Shaq, he came in shooting. Yeah. He walked in, started calling me names, and you know, this little ugly ass little boy. It's your big ass right here. I don't act like I won't come over there and chill. So, but it was, and even that rapport was started off camera. So we get on yeah. camera. That's why me and Chuck just kept shooting at each other because it was already established. And mm-hmm. he's a cool dude, and that's the comfort level. So he walk in big, and everybody kisses butt. Shaq. When he walked in the hotel we was at, everybody ran out. The damn restaurant stopped. People running out trying to take pictures of him. He get upstairs with us. I mean, what's your big ass doing? Why you got them leather shoes on?
So we start
talking to him like a normal person, and that's what loses people up. Because I always say it, man. You put your drawers on before your pants, just like I do. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're a human being.
I can actually see you putting your pants on before your drawers. On some of these nights I've been around you,
dog. I'd be wide open sometimes.
You ain't been nervous with anybody, though? Like, has anybody made you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
What, something that we ain't seen yet?
Caitlyn
Jenner.
Yeah.
That came out?
Thing.
Yeah. That was, yeah, Caitlyn Jenner.
See, I ain't see that one.
I
did see the one with Caitlyn. Because she said some real shit. Because she was like, yo, basically, it seems like it's a trend.
Yeah.
For everybody didn't be embracing the trend. I thought that was going to have way more backlash than it did, but yeah. it did.
So the crazy thing is, though, when we got the opportunity to do it, I was actually in the car with him, and I was like, we can't do it. And he was like, no, man, it's going to be, he was like, I was straight up. He's like, it's going to be a great conversation, RC, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to ask her this. I said, nah, man. I said, because Chan, I was like, you really can't, like, Chan on this one. Like, you got to kind of, I was like, because if we upset the trans community, I was like, we might not have no show.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he was like, nah, I'm going to be straight. I said, but on the other side of it is too, I said, because she's a guest that's not necessarily, like, for our target demographic, I was like, we can't go on there and not be us. You know what I'm saying? Like, I actually don't want Channing or Fred or myself to have to be on a show with a guest where we can't do what we do. Mm-hmm. And we can't do it in the way that people have grown to love the show. And so, like, that was the conversation we were having. And we had it for a day. And then, like, we finally, and you know,
a day. We was 10 hours when we figured we could do the show.
Okay, mm-hmm.
So we had to coach this dude right here. Like, no, and you don't know if he's playing or if he's serious.
Yeah,
most of the time.
He's like, I'm going to ask her this.
What kind of meat you got?
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh.
Do
like,
you still have
come
it?
Come on, bro.
He wussed out
on that question.
Just like y'all see, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all get a look and you got next question this. So we kind of do the same thing. Like, we'll put our finger up or you got it. Every time I put my finger up during that interview, they both be like,
no.
I don't think I got out of line, but I did ask the real questions.
Nah, you scared good. To ask one question, though.
How do you get to a proper understanding if we don't have these real conversations, though? You got to have these real conversations.
What question would you ask,
Chen? That you were scared to ask.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, what you got in your drawers? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I say.
You say that usually?
I would say just like, my thing is like, man, all the sugar. It's funny because all that sugar coating when people are like, so I've heard in the past, I listened to another interview of yours and try to sneak up on a topic. Mm-hmm. Let me not waste your time. Let me just ask the question. So in that one, I didn't just ask the question. And that RC be like, you real nice with this one, sis.
Yeah, you scared, bro. Real nice.
So yeah, but people know Chan.
Yeah.
They'll come in there looking for Chan to, like Shaq.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They come in there and they trying to get him open. Because when you break him, you break the ice and the interview just go.
We got more with the Pivot Podcast coming up on the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Yes, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee, DJ Envy, and right now we kicking it with the Pivot Podcast. I want to tap back into the Michael Beasley combo and the mental health combo. Was that ever something y'all were able to discuss as athletes, y'all mental health?
I think
when y'all were playing?
When you were playing, you don't really pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. You, I mean, you're a warrior. You know, you're just out there competing. You're trying to knock the next guy's head off or try to avoid getting your head knocked off. So that conversation, especially when we were playing, it wasn't as prevalent, you know, as important as it is now. But on the other side of that, you know, now that we are out of the game, we're able to see these guys that are either committing suicide, they're struggling or going through, you know, these mental health issues. You know, we always try to bring it to the forefront, you know, and I knew that before the Beasley episode, for example, there were some questions about, you know, his state of, you know, mind. And that was a few angles and a few questions that we were going to ask, but we didn't know it was going to go that deep, you know. So we always want to, you know, before we would call it a check-in, you know, check on your people, follow up, see how they're doing, because you just never know. Because even in our game, is it like 78 or 87% of the guys are broke, filed bankrupt, or divorced within 3 years when they're done. And that can put pressure and expedite whatever's going on upstairs. You get into depression, you know, the anxiety of thinking where the next dollar coming from. Because guys don't all, you get in at such a young age, you don't necessarily know which way you're going to go. But the good thing is the NFL provides all of those resources.
Really?
But all of them. Mm-hmm. If anybody, I heard a comment the other day say, what can we do? We got to, you know, get with, you know, the NFLPA and do this and that. They already doing that. The players just got to take the time to go take advantage of the resources. They give, they've got money laid out everywhere. So you just got to go. You got to put that in your everyday routine and say, this is what matters to me. You got to do it now, though, especially for the young guys that's active. They got to do it right now.
But you're so much, I think you're so much more evolved. Like, I got to give you some love. I'm going to go Freddie Flowers here.
Always.
Right. You and you starting to speak about mental health made me actually check myself. And I remember meeting you at ESPN. One, you were way nicer and more polite than I thought you'd be. Just listening to the show, I'm like, man, he telling people they box trash. And I was like, he got to be a bad guy. But but so, and just like, because, you know, and I've talked about it with them all the time. You know, like, I grew up, both parents, you know, great childhood, but like, my parents were really tough. My parents were, my, they worked hard as hell, and they said, you know what, like, my mama told me, you know, like, depression is something that a black man can't afford, right? Or sadness or different things like that. And so, you know, there were times where I could have been battling things and just not let myself accept it, right? Because to me, it was unacceptable. And I've had to learn as I've gotten older to be sympathetic to those things and to try to understand that, one, not everybody sees it like me or is built like me, and that these things do truly exist, not only in our culture, but in the world, period. And, you know, from listening to you, my homeboy, Mundy said something. Ryan said something on his episode that I thought was so deep. He said, what people got to understand is what's good for black people can be good for all people. You know, and so I had to truly start getting out of that mindset of, nah, you don't have to tough your way through everything. Like, you can talk to people, like, you can, you are also dealing with things. Because, like, when I played, like, I was an undrafted dude, you know. I spent my first 4 years trying not to be cut, you know what I mean? And when those things happen, because I grew up with a mom and I went to church every day, it wasn't, you know, you need to talk to somebody, you're dealing with something. I just got on my knees, or I got in that book. You know, like, that was the way I dealt with it. So I am still, like, at my age, like, I am still learning. And so, honestly, when we have a Michael Beasley and are able to have that conversation, it truly helps me more than anything, because it starts to let me know that these things are real. You know, you have to deal with them. People have to deal with them. And it's okay, because I truly felt like it wasn't, even in my parenting. Like, I've had to adjust, you know, as well.
But I think, and I say, I'm the caveman of the crew. They're way more evolved than I am. And I've learned it now. You know, the mental health awareness ain't been about 10 years now that it's really come to the forefront, maybe less.
Especially in our community.
Yeah. So you playing ball, you done grind your whole life to be the 1% of the 1%. You break your finger, tie it to the next one. You dislocate your shoulder, pop it back in and go play. So we doing all this on the field to play ball, to make money. You the best of the best. You woke up sad. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember some guys just being like, man, I'm down. And you look at, bro, we got, let's go. Like, it's time to play. This is a barbaric
call in
sport.
On Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Yeah. We got to, like, there's no off. There's no replacement for you. And he's worse than you. That's why he's your damn backup. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, that barbaric side of football, especially, you know, basketball things are different, but football, exactly. Physically, I have to see something wrong with you. If I see your bone pop out of your ankle, okay, bro, you can take a couple weeks off. You're depressed. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, what is, and I didn't, when I played, I didn't understand it. And I knew guys were going through stuff. I tell the story, like, Junior Seau, who took his own life. That was my homeboy. That was my dude. And I remember the day I saw it, I called his phone and went to voicemail, and I just broke down in tears. And that, it started clicking to me, talking to Ricky Williams a lot, post-career. Mm-hmm. And Ricky explained it to me. Like, I started really seeing, like, this could be bigger than a torn ACL. This could be life or death. Torn ACL, you miss 9 months. This could be life or death when you talk to the mental side. So I have come around from my barbaric and my, you know, caveman ways to really respecting. And when somebody says they're not feeling good, hey, I need some time. Let me call my homeboy and really talk with him and really break this down. So I hopefully if my old country ass can do it, the whole league and the world will open up, especially black people will open up and understand this could be bigger than something you can see. Something you can't see might be a bigger even or something you can watch walking towards you in the hallway.
I wonder if it's easier to play football than it is a sport like basketball because of the fact, you know, they always say hurt people. You can actually go out there and hurt somebody and you get paid for it. That's what you're supposed to do. Like, I wonder.
To take a human being's physical person and not be concerned with it, if I hit him in his knee and it pops backwards and a bone pops out, good job. You'll get patted on the back. Mm-hmm. That was a hell of a hit. You knock a dude to sleep. That was a hell of a hit, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have to disconnect yourself from almost humanity to go out there on Sunday? Because I can't look. I can't. Me and Freddie, he was obviously a player. When I played Freddie, I couldn't look at Freddie as Fred T, my homeboy, my dog. We both Gators. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I know, family, I know, right.
He got kids. I know he's man. I know he's a happy, you know, happy dude. If I get a chance to knock him to sleep, I have to do it. That's my job. Damn. So I had to disconnect myself from the relationship and disconnect myself from human beings. I'm not walking in public, busting my head in nobody's chest down the seafood aisle. But when I get on the football field, the hell with you, the hell with you, the hell with you. If I don't do my job, I'm getting cut, and I'm going to lose my check.
Did you put that much thought into it, though? Because I played since I was four, and it was just always the same thing, you know, like we gonna play, and it was what it was. I'm backyard playing, throw up tackle with the homeboys. Yeah, I'm gonna try to smash you through this fence, and, you know, hopefully your mama go cook tonight, and we just go all eat together. And I think, I don't know, man, I just think, like for us, you know, I tell people all the time, like, I only wanted one job my whole life, and that was to play football. And I did it for free for so long that when they would pay me, like, I was like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think that was, it also played into it, though, like, we don't get to call out. Like, we don't have holidays, right? You working on Christmas. You working on Thanksgiving. Like, you don't have sick days. When I was sick, you know what I mean? Like, when I was sick, I went to work every day. I couldn't stand up straight for a month, but I went to work every day because they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, because that's what you're supposed to do. And about 11 o'clock every day, they'd send me home, you know, because I had a fever or whatever. And so I think, you know, we were just always taught that if you ain't dead, you got to be here. Mm-hmm. And so I think for us, though, Charlamagne, that crossed over mentally and emotionally as well. It's like, I can't go in here and tell these people I don't feel good or I don't have it. And I think that part played into it. And the physicality of it, to me, was what defined you. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I respect, I can say this, I respect tougher individuals more than I respect talented individuals. You know what I mean? Like, it was some dudes that, like, this dude right here, one of the most talented humans I've ever played against. Like, you couldn't touch him in a phone booth, but he was also a dog. And, like, that was what I admired about him. And I think when people constantly, in our world, when people constantly applaud you for toughness, it makes you want it more. Like, when I would put people to sleep, you know what I mean? Like, they would love it. And I was like, oh, that's all I gotta do is just run my face into his face and get up first. I'll do that every single snap.
Damn.
Because that's what they're gonna pay me for.
Mm-hmm. Man, I think what y'all do is so necessary. But I don't think we'd be having these conversations with athletes and about athletes in this way if it wasn't for these kind of platforms. Because I don't think they would ever go on ESPN or Fox Sports or anywhere and be that open and vulnerable as they are with y'all. So,
but thank you, man.
All the Smoke, us, who's the other great ones? Million Dollar Worth of Game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All them guys. we wouldn't be there without y'all.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah.
That's think about real, the platform y'all set up. Mm-hmm. Y'all got three people, smart people, sit down, communicate, interview folks. Like, y'all taught us this game.
And y'all didn't know each other, right?
No, we all knew each other.
Yeah, so y'all taught us this game. So all the love that you giving us and the respect, and we appreciate it. Without the Breakfast Club, I believe there's no all the smoke, there's no pivot, there's no $1 million worth of game. There's not those things. Y'all set the standard, and we appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, thank y'all,
everything
man.
Everything happens for a reason. So absolutely. The Pivot Podcast, y'all got that popping after, you know, things didn't work out in the previous situation, and it's even better.
Well, make sure y'all subscribe to the Pivot Podcast. Fred Taylor, Channing Crowder, Ryan Clark, thank y'all for coming, brother.
Thank you guys for having us. By the way, I just want to say, this has been like a dream of mine, and I didn't want to say it in the beginning. So thank y'all so much for having us.
No, for real.
Like, this was like on my bucket list of media things to do, so I appreciate it.
Done. Thank it's the you. Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When it's time to get with someone special, the best way to do it is with Magnum large size condoms. That gold foil wrapper is a badge of honor, and it means you're protected. And you take care of things with comfort. Accept no substitutes. Bring the pleasure with the gold standard. Magnum, large size condoms.
WWPR FMHD1 New York.
And iHeart Radio Station.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Make sure you tell them to watch out for Florida, man. Florida, man.
The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida.
Yes, you are a donkey.
A Florida man attacked an ATM for a very strange reason. It gave him too much money. Florida man is arrested after deputies say he rigged the door to his home in an attempt to electrocute his pregnant wife. Police arrested an Orlando man for attacking a flamingo.
It's the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Donkey of the day with Charlamagne the guy. I don't know why y'all keep letting him get y'all elected.
First of all, what does your Uncle Charla always say about the great state of Florida? The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. That is a fact. But one thing I don't do enough is salute the great city of Miami. Drop one of Clues bombs for Miami. The 305. One of the greatest places on the planet. We don't discuss Miami enough. I know y'all like to go down there for the weather and the beaches and the licking. Okay, in the nightlife, but Miami has contributed so much to the culture of hip-hop. Drop on the Clues bombs for Uncle Luke and the Two Live Crew! Top five rap group of all time! Uncle Luke is a whole legend and should always be respected as such. Y'all wouldn't have parental advisory stickers on albums if it wasn't for Uncle Luke. Uncle Luke, you know, was considered obscene, okay? And went against Congress to fight for the First Amendment. Artist freedom of speech, he really fought for that, okay? America labeled him explicit, which led to the mandatory parental advisory sticker you see on music now with offensive content, okay? That impacted all musical genres, by the way, not just hip-hop, all right? He fought for the right to tell big booty hoes, you ain't nothing but a hoochie mama. Hood rat, hood rat! You hear me? He fought for the right to tell Asian women all around the world, me so horny. Uncle Luke, you hear me? Uncle Luke fought for the right to tell you that Cap D is coming. And at some point after he comes, you're going to have to put your hands up high, your ass down low, and drop that boom boom to the floor. That's right. Don't even judge. I still got them knees. You hear what I'm saying? That was a good era.
Don't play no more. That's okay. What I'm saying. Don't play no more.
That was a good era. Have we all grown now? Yes. Do we all realize that, you know, the music was misogynistic and sexist? Yes. But can we all admit that problematic music slapped? Okay. And it wouldn't be the same without the toxicity. And you are a liar if you say you hear that music now and it doesn't make you feel good, okay? Drop one of Clues bombs for Uncle Luke. All right? I still listen to I Wanna Rock right now. I literally mean right now. Like, that's my joint, okay? This man, Uncle Luke, had us screaming the color of feces for no damn reason, okay? Proudly screaming out what the color of feces was just because some of y'all doo-doo might be green, okay? Sometime. Might even be a little hint of red, depending on if you got hemorrhoids or how much fun you had in the bedroom the night before. But it's universally known that doo-doo is brown because of the legend named Luther Campbell. And that's why we are gathered here today, ladies and gentlemen, to discuss doo-doo, okay? See, William Carroll is a robber who is currently facing charges of armed robbery and battery. See, a woman was walking her dog in Miami's Edgewater neighborhood. She was picking up her dog's poop when William Carroll pulled up with a knife. No need to listen to me because I need to catch my breath anyway. Okay, but let's go to NBC 6 South Florida for the report, please.
What was supposed to be a quick dog walk Monday night turned into a violent attack. Police say a woman was attacked and robbed on her way back home after walking her dog. She stopped on the stairs to her condo to pick up the dog's waste when a man allegedly came from behind with a knife and strangled her, then allegedly stole her backpack and wallet. Police caught Carroll a few blocks away, out of breath, and they say with the victim's credit cards nearby. He told detectives he didn't do it, but police say he didn't realize he was wearing one of the biggest pieces of evidence, which came from the dog. Literally. The police report states a brownish stain was seen on the defendant's shirt, matching the dog poop from the scene.
Mm. William Carroll is in jail because, number one, he's a robber, but number two, because of doo-doo. All right? This woman had the wherewithal, or maybe, you know, just in her fighting a little, she got enough doo-doo on him for cops to notice he had a dog poop stain on his shirt. First of all, you're not just about to blend in when you got doo-doo on you. Okay, even if the clothes you are wearing are indeed a doo-doo brown color, the smell, my G, okay, the odor. We've all had dog poop on our shoe at some point in life. You can't escape that funky-ass fragrance, all right? Think about the time you had to take cleaning doo-doo off your shoes in life. Mm-mm. So imagine walking around with it on your shirt. You throw the whole shirt away. Clearly, William, 62 years old, robbing folks at knife point, couldn't afford to throw his shirt away. But the fact you just decided to go to the cultural institution known as Pizza Hut with doo-doo on your shirt. Sir, respect yourself, but also respect the home of the Book It program. You can't just walk up in Pizza Hut with doo-doo on your shirt and get you a personal pan pie and keep it moving. And furthermore, how stink are you on a regular basis that you don't even notice you got doo-doo on your shirt? Not only did he have doo-doo on his shirt, the officers found the victim's belongings and the knife. So it's an open and shut case. Now, William Carroll is currently in the Turner Gofield Knight Correctional Center. All you brothers in that facility who are listening to The Breakfast Club this morning, you're listening to Charlamagne the God deliver this donkey of the day. If you don't see that man, William Carroll, and say, "Don't stop, pop that bussy. Let me see you doo-doo brown." If y'all not calling that man doo-doo brown for the rest of his life, for the rest of his stay in that facility, then y'all have collectively failed Miami-Dade County. I'm not saying harass the man. I'm just saying his life, your entertainment, okay? Y'all just trying to kill some time behind those walls and him ending up there because, one, he made the poor choice to rob and steal, and two, because of doo-doo. Mm-mm-mm. It's just too much comedy gold to not let the jokes fly. Please give William Carroll, a.k.a. Doo-doo Brown, the biggest hee-haw.
You tired, man?
A little bit.
You sweating?
A little bit. Let that pop that scarred fly one more time, though.
Uh-oh. Go. Get low. Oh, get low. Get low. Megan got nothing on you. Keep going.
I'm glad you know.
Who's your mama?
Why can't y'all just admit? Y'all be out here judging these kids. Listen. Y'all be out here trying to act so woke, judging these kids for the content of their music, and that's what we grew up on, okay?
You need oxygen, bro.
Our era was so toxic and so problematic, but so damn fun, okay?
All right.
Do you even have those classic tunes without the toxicity? Huh?
Drink some water.
I'm fine.
Yeah, all right.
Okay? Don't think I'm not fine. Right. I am fine. You hear me?
All right.
I am 43 the knees of a 41-year-old.
Look like you need a little Bengay. What?
I did say pop that bussy.
You know what?
So who Bengay?
The Breakfast Club. It's topic time. Pick up the phone, baby. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club. Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy and Angela Yee, Charlamagne the Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, we're talking about Channum Crowder.
Channing Crowder, they was on the Pivot Podcast. Salute to the Pivot Podcast, one of my favorite podcasts. And Channing Crowder was talking to cornerback Denzel Ward. He's a cornerback for the Cleveland Browns, and Channing had this to say about Mr. Denzel Ward.
But you are beautiful.
What you mean?
Well, you got pretty eyes, like, you got good skin, you got the little highlights, like no, but you a dog now. Like, yeah. I watched you play, you a dog, but did you have to fight that? Like,
when fight you being walk beautiful, out, what you
just,
mean?
You look so pleasant and nice, but then you got to choke a bitch to sleep, right, you know right. what I'm saying? Like, do dudes try you when they see you, be like, oh, no, this dude got you, you had to fight that?
I mean, you the first dude that called me beautiful.
Bro, you are beautiful.
I don't even know how to respond.
So now the question is, what do you think of that conversation?
I see absolutely positively nothing wrong with it. You know, I compliment brothers like that all of the time. You know, I saw Kevin Gates last week or whenever Kevin Gates was up here. And I said, yo, you look good, brother, because you can see that his skin looked healthy. He was glowing. You could tell he lost weight. You could tell he working out. You could just, you know, see that he has an inner glow about him, that, you know, he's on the right path mentally, spiritually, physically. I don't see anything wrong with telling another
human compliment.
I don't see nothing wrong with it. What's the problem?
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it. I've never called somebody gorgeous, but I've complimented
gorgeous.
Charlamagne has complimented many a times.
I've never complimented
you. Always compliment
you.
Me, bro.
Never.
Yes, you do.
You never give me anything to compliment
you always
about.
Compliment give him
me.
A
never.
Compliment now.
You just touched my leg on the way out and said I got nice legs.
I did not say that. You had shorts on.
And what did you do?
I just reached for something.
See,
but I wasn't reaching.
I'm not playing this game with you no more.
It had nothing to do with anything other than that they was out.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, man. Good morning, Breakfast Club. It's your boy Chunks, man. Scratch Line ENT. Yo, Charlamagne.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to comment, man, brother. Like, listen, we as black men, we either going to support each other and compliment each other, or we either going to criticize each other. We can't play both sides of the middle.
I agree.
We want to address masculinity. Then every time somebody want to compliment another brother, we want to sit here and critic. Yo, come on, bro. What are we going to do? We going to support each other or we not?
I'm with you 100%, my brother. That's why I don't like the backlash that Channing Crowder is getting. Because just like you just said, either they're going to complain about toxic masculinity, or when we show each other love, they're going to complain. Which one is it?
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, it's Terry from Duval.
What's your comments, bro? What you think?
Hey, my comments, man. I think Channon was talking to Ward like he was a snack, though. He was putting a lot of emphasis on his comments, and there's a difference between me telling Charlamagne, I love where your bald head looks today, or hey, you know,
thank you, King.
You look beautiful today. But at the end of the day, when you play those comments back, he was putting a lot of emphasis on my man Ward. Like, I don't know, he was kind of looking at him kind of funny.
I didn't feel like that because I you know, I listened to the Pivot Podcast. That's how Channing talks. Channing puts a lot of emphasis on everything.
But he was putting in a lot on, like, how he looks, though. Like, there's a difference.
What's wrong with that?
You know there's a difference between you telling anyone something and then him with, like, all this emphasis on ooh and ah and e. Like, man,
I ain't get all that.
Comments, man. Yeah, man.
I ain't hear all them oohs and ahs and e's, man.
Well, if somebody said that to you, would you just say thank you and take it as a compliment?
I would, but in the back of my mind, I might feel more uncomfortable.
Why?
I don't know this man like that.
You just told me I got a beautiful bald head and amazing eyebrows. I didn't think take nothing from that.
But I said it in a very manly way.
All right, brother.
So you got to walk up to him and say, you got a beautiful bald head.
Beautiful bald head. Sexy eyes.
Thank you, King.
See? 800.
Thank you, King. I appreciate that, King.
Shut up, man. 800-585-1051. We're talking about Channing Crowder. And this is what he said.
But you are beautiful.
What you mean?
Well,
like,
you got pretty eyes, like, you got good skin, you got the little highlights, like, no, but you a dog now, like, yeah. I watched you play, you a dog, but did you have to fight that, like, when
fight
you walk
being
out,
beautiful. What you
just,
mean?
You look so pleasant and nice, but then you got to choke a bitch to sleep, right, you know right. what I'm saying, like, do dudes try you when they see you, be like, oh, no, this dude got you, you had to fight that?
I mean, you the first dude that called me beautiful.
Bro, you are beautiful.
I don't even know how to respond. Don't.
What's your thoughts on it? It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call me.
Add your opinion to the Breakfast Club top.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about Channing Crowder, and this is what he said.
Well, you are beautiful.
What you mean?
Well, like, you got pretty eyes, like, you got good skin, you got the little highlights, like no, but you a dog now. Like, yeah. I watched you play, you a dog, but did you have to fight that? Like,
You just look
so pleasant and nice. You know? But then you got to choke a bitch to sleep. Right, you know right. what I'm saying? Like, do dudes try you when they see you? Be like, oh, no. This dude got you. You had to fight that?
I mean, you the first dude that called me beautiful.
Bro, you are beautiful.
I don't even know how to respond.
And we're asking, what's your thoughts?
Y'all men need to give each other compliments more often and stop worrying about things like that. You told the man he looks good, beautiful right. eyes, beautiful skin.
That's right. And that's
nice.
True.
Thank you.
Yo, because you know what's so specific about those compliments?
What?
Think about how many people you meet whose skin be looking dry mm-hmm. and ashy because they don't take care of themselves, because they don't drink enough water. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Think about how your eyes be looking yellowish. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Reddish because you don't drink enough water because you don't take care of yourself. Those are top tier compliments when you compliment somebody's skin and the way their eyes look. Salute to Channing Crowder, man. I don't see nothing wrong with it.
All right, well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Kelvin from Miami. How are you?
Hey, what's up, brother? We're talking about what's your comments on what he said?
What I was saying is, I feel like this. You can't tell the man that he can't feel offended or somebody can't feel offended. The same way if I went up to the beautiful Angela Yee and started complimenting her without her permission, she might find it as toxic and harassing. But if Idris Elba did it, she might find it is acceptable. It's about the person. You can't tell a person, hey, you have to take this compliment if they don't want it from that individual.
Well, who said that? Who said that he was offended?
Isn't that what the topic is?
No. The problem is people online were acting like there was something wrong with what Channing Crowder did by giving him that compliment.
Was the comment unsolicited?
I mean, most compliments about somebody's looks are unsolicited.
Did he ask him, how do you think I look today?
No, he did not ask that. But okay. Normally when somebody gives you a compliment, it's not because you asked for
one. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is a new society we live in. You just can't assume that you can say certain things to people.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. If we're trying to play by these new rules, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think your skin looks good is not really offensive.
Hello, who's this?
It's more like a healthy thing.
Hello?
Hey, what's up? This is Jamal from Springfield.
Jamal from Springfield. What's up, brother?
What's good, y'all? Envy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, brother.
Yo, I was calling because I hear y'all talking about, you know, the men complimenting men and stuff.
Talk to me, King.
I'm not going to hold you, man. I'm a light-skinned, 6'2", green-eyed, black guy, so it happens a lot to me, too. Old, young, every race, they kind of look at you weird and be like, oh, you get all the women, huh?
Most overrated description of a human ever when they say light skin, tall with green eyes, okay?
You a hater.
Nobody cares about that 1980-something beauty standard. Yo, you got curly hair too, huh?
He got curly
hair.
Bro.
Nah, I don't.
Charlamagne's such a hater. Yo, when I used to ride my bike a lot, he always used to be like, yo, I love watching you ride your bike. He
never said that.
You never said that? You did.
Never said
that. You asked me where I got my shorts from and all that.
Never said that. I did ask you about your shorts.
See?
But I never said I liked the way you ride your bike.
Yes, you do.
Uncle Charlotte, man, I can't help what my color is, man. I wish I did have that.
Most overrated beauty standard is light skin with green eyes. Y'all look like pit bulls.
You a hater.
Let your Uncle Charlotte be the first to tell you light skin people with green eyes look like pit bulls.
You a hater. Hater. Hello, who's this? You've been hurt. Light skinned brother took your girl or something. Hello, who's this?
Light skinned men and women look like pit bulls.
Yo, shut up.
Uncle Charlotte said
watch
it.
Watch your mouth. Goodness gracious. Hello?
Yeah, you got Brandon from Louisville.
Brandon from Louisville.
I mean, I heard what you said about this. Me and my brother, we tell each other as often as possible how good you're looking. Like, I mean, you need more black brothers out here lifting each other up, complimenting them, letting them know you look good. Like, ain't nothing wrong with that.
I agree.
Masculinity out here. You got folks out here killing each other over stupid stuff like that.
You look good.
I agree. I'm with you 100%, my brother.
All right, brother. What's the moral of the story, guys?
The moral of the story is never underestimate the power of a random compliment. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think there's anything wrong with a black man or any man, you know, telling another man, you know, they appreciate their appearance. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think we so superficial. We'll tell a man he got a nice car, he got a nice chain, but when a man been in the gym, you know, actually working out, or when a man's taking care of himself and you can see it in his skin, you can see it in his eyes, you can't give him a compliment? Y'all out y'all damn mind. Salute to Channing Crowder, man.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy.
Hey, I'm Angela Yee.
And I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God, and we just want to say happy holidays from all three of us.
All three of y'all.
The Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When it's time to get with someone special, the best way to do it is with Magnum large-size condoms. That gold foil wrapper is a badge of honor, and it means you're protected. And you take care of things with comfort. Accept no substitutes. Bring the pleasure with the gold standard. Magnum, large-size condoms. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. All right, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
Positive note is simply this. The best part of being authentic is that there is no image to maintain. You will delight some and disturb others, and none of it will concern the truth of your being.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.